I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
And these guys just flapping gums at each other. Any chance they get. And he has just turned in the fastest knockout in UFC history.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
The name is not necessarily what somebody cheer for. I just think that's our way as Americans, where we're selfish. And all these people that are saying, well, if the name changed, I'm going, well, you wasn't a fan anyway. So if you love this organization and you see them changing for the better, and if they come out and start winning, the same people around here that had pride in that organization before is going to have pride moving forward.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
It's a little emotional for me because I did do something a little different. I changed my body, changed my mindset in the game, and I was able to accomplish a win while playing a completely different style of golf. And it's pretty amazing to see that, and I hope it's an inspiration to a lot of people that if they set their mind to it, you can accomplish it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Welcome in. Happy Monday, everybody. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Andy Dirt Johnson with you. No Brandon Sprague. He's getting the day off. Well-deserved four-day weekend for him. We were off on Friday. No Jason Swigart. He's off again today. He's had like 6 months straight off. I don't know if he's ever coming back to work. I got Joe Fisher in with me. What's happening, buddy? How we doing today?
What is going on?
How was the 4th of July? Everybody have a good 4th of July?
It's fantastic.
Was it weird for you two?
I mean, I had that kind of mindset going into the 4th of July. It's about to be awkward.
Yeah, a little different than normal.
Yeah, country pride right now. I don't know where we're at right now.
Well, so. It was just, I mean, the weird part for me was I had a couple of those over the weekend. By the way, we got a lot to get to today, and we just had a huge news bomb in the sports world that's like throwing a huge curveball at us. It's like 12:04. Like, I don't even know where to begin today. There's so much going on. Leagues that are, you know, getting slow out of the gate, trying to get their sports back, college football, baseball, DeChambeau hulked his way through the course. There's a million things to get to. But I did want to start, though, just with people's 4th of July kind of experience and how the weekend was for them. I had the chance, like two different things stood out to me this weekend. One, have you been to an airport since all this started?
No.
Okay, so my brother and his entire family just moved back to Portland after like 12 years of living in North Carolina, and they landed on Friday night. So it was a big weekend for our family. Like, he's back, and I never thought it was going to happen, and he's here, and it's just, you know, it's craziness all weekend. But it was the first time that I went to an airport, and it was like one of the most eerie things that I've ever done.
Ghost town?
Dude, like, and I'm sure people have flown and you've experienced it, but like getting there, first off, driving on 205 to the airport at 6:30 on a Friday, the day before the 4th of July, there's no traffic. So it's like, all right, we're just flying there. It took like 15 minutes to get to the airport. You pull in because they had a whole bunch of stuff that they had to unload from the airplane. So we had to go, you know, short-term parking and then go in and help them carry all their bags out. Going in the short-term parking, like the open spots all over the place was mind-blowing to see. It's like, pick your floor. Where do you want to park? Right next to the door? Right next to the elevator? There's nobody there. So we finally get into the airport after parking and walking around. We were there way too early because we didn't know how big of a delay there was going to be. And we go to check to make sure that the flight's on time. And, you know, they got those video screens that say arrivals and departures. And it's like four screens or three screens, whatever, up and down. There was like one and a half screen of each. And the other ones were just blank. Like, there was a total of, like, 12 flights coming in and 12 flights leaving the rest of the night.
This felt like a 28 days later
kind
of moment.
It totally did. Like, we're just standing there, and there's nobody up front. There's nobody. There's, you know, you maybe saw, like, 25 to 30 people the entire time that you're standing there. It was really weird. And then that kind of led into yesterday. Saturday. That was the weirdest 4th of July I can remember, just because not having fireworks shows and not having people out doing stuff. And I know everybody had their own, like, low-key family barbecues, hanging out with friends here and there, and that's what we did, just kind of a low-key barbecue. But, like, as somebody who grew up in Selwood, anybody who's ever been around Selwood on the 4th of July, you know, like, that the 4th of July is a big deal down there, because you got a fireworks show that goes off of Oaks Bottom, so everybody, like, from the surrounding area comes down to Selwood, and it's like Mardi Gras down there. Like, streets are closed down, and you get, the fireworks are going off all over the place. There's standing room only. There's no place to park. It's craziness down there in Selwood on the 4th of July. And being around the neighborhood on this year's 4th, it was just eerie, man. There's nobody down there. So, I don't know. Maybe people enjoyed it kind of more low-key. There was still a lot of fireworks, and there was some cool. Did you see, like, the helicopter flying around L.A.?
Oh, my God.
That was catching all the fireworks going off around the city, because there's no big fireworks shows going on.
Yeah, that video alone was insane. But as far as my 4th of July goes, usually I head out to Lafayette, which is just outside Dundee, Newburgh area there,
okay,
in Yamhill, and got family over there. So that's where I've been last two or three 4th of Julys. So I have never spent a 4th of July in my neighborhood. And it was quite something. The mortar shells were flying.
Yeah.
When I woke up the next morning, there was just shards of paper all around the cul-de-sac on my car. It looked like I just left a war zone the night before.
How late did they go on into the night?
I want to say me and the boy retired into the house around like 10:30-ish.
Okay,
and there
okay
was a few more after that. It wasn't into midnight, though, I wouldn't
okay
say.
Okay, wasn't too bad.
No, I'm not too bad.
Yeah, they were going out pretty late in Milwaukee, which is totally, I get it, fire, like, you do your thing, especially with this year's 4th of July. People are cooped up, so they're wanting, you know, forms of entertainment. I don't know if I'm just getting old, though, but I tweeted this last night, and then Sprague followed up with a poll question that I want to ask listeners right off the bat today. The July 5th late night firework, is that necessary?
Oh, God.
Like, do we just have leftovers? Did you not light them all off? Like, what's the reasoning for that?
Yeah, there was mid-afternoon ones yesterday in my neighborhood.
What are we doing?
And that, I mean, just obviously we're a day late on the firework, but in the middle
sure
of the day?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Nobody can see it. Yeah, you can hear it just fine. And I was like, okay, that's a choice, I guess.
Yeah, I was laying in bed last night, and there were fireworks going off in the neighborhood until like 11 or 12 last night. And it's like, I'm the strict, like, when you're done with the holiday, you just kind of move on to the next one. Like, do you listen to Christmas music on December 26th? Like, I'm kind of over it, right?
Yeah, you might be a psychopath.
Right, you got that whole buildup. You listen to it for the entire month. You get through Christmas. It's the day after. You're like, all right, what's coming up next? Let's move on to the next thing. Let's take the tree down, take the lights down, move on to the next holiday. So Sprague asked, I tweeted that last night. I'm just getting old, but I can't, like, can we just do away with the July 5th fireworks? And he asked, what's worse, the early June pop-offs that, like, come randomly the weeks leading into the 4th of July?
Dude, yeah.
Or the 5th of July fireworks? Which is worse?
I say the early ones. Because I even said something to you guys, I believe, Monday or Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, dude, I had it wasn't even July yet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, there was people firing off mortars already in my neighborhood. And Sprague's, it's whatever. I'm like, no. We need at least, like, a three-day buffer, July 3rd to 5th.
You get little window right there.
Exactly. So the July 5th ones, I don't mind if you're trying to, light off the last ones that you have. But if you're – it's not even July, for God's sakes. I mean, it's 5 days before the holiday. Like, just wait, you know? And then you're just wasting your ammunition, stockpile.
That's true. Then you got to go buy more fireworks.
What are you celebrating on June 30th?
That's a really good question.
Halfway through the year, maybe? I don't know.
That's a really good question. I see your argument. Now, I said July 5th just because you go through such a late, long, loud night on July 4th
right,
that I'm kind of like ready to be. I'm like, all right, we celebrated fireworks. Everybody had a good time. Let's move on. And I don't need fireworks on July 5th. I see your argument because the June ones, though, will catch you off guard.
Yes.
Like, you'll be sitting around your house and you're not quite thinking about it yet, especially this year because there weren't a lot of fireworks stands up. And if they did open, they were only open for like a week around my, like, I didn't see a ton of them. We didn't run a ton of ads until late in the month. Like, it just wasn't your normal force. So when those would like pop up on June 25th, like, what the hell was that?
Dude,
What's going on here?
Yeah, I didn't know if it was June 30th or a couple days before, but there were some that went off in my neighborhood that you literally think, like, That was a bomb. That was Piccolo Pete's crushed up into a 2-liter bottle. Someone is doing some extracurricular activities with their fireworks, okay?
I did hear a funny story. So my brother and his whole family just moved, and they got in Friday. But before they left, they lit off a couple of fireworks at their home in North Carolina before they flew out. And he's a bit of a germaphobe. And try, you know, he's they want to make sure he stay clean.
I'm sure
and,
he's doing fantastic
right
now.
During a pandemic, it's a dream time to be a germaphobe. So he bought a couple of like small fountains and stuff. He's got three young kids, and he bought a couple of small fountains, and he wiped one down with hand sanitizer just because he didn't know who touched it, and he brought it home, so he wanted to wipe the outside with hand sanitizer. Apparently, that's not the thing to do.
I was going
to
say, so he covered a firework yeah. in something that was alcohol-based.
It did not turn out well.
No,
their youngest is like two, and she freaked out. Not a fan of fireworks anymore. She's going to be cigarred for a couple of years because the thing apparently there was just kind of just went up, kind of blew up. And
it was just supposed to spin.
Right. Just supposed to be a fountain. Well, I hope everybody had a good 4th. It was weird, but I hope you enjoyed the time with your family and friends and had a good barbecue. I know Joe got the ribs going, all that kind of stuff. So hope everybody had a great 4th. We got a lot to get to. Let's find out what's on the show today.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
All right, What's on Tap, brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Had a few Pelicans over the weekend. Who didn't? We got a lot to get to. It was already a busy show, and then we just got a news bomb. So I'm going to go ahead and push everything back a segment today because everything's going to get delayed a little bit. So, I mean, where do you begin? We got Major League Baseball. What the hell's going on with Major League Baseball? We need to talk about that. Players not happy. People opting out. Players testing positive. Not a great start. They just released a statement basically trying to say we're not doing anything wrong. Yeesh, not a good look. So we'll get to that. Bryson DeChambeau lost his ass over the weekend at a cameraman for following him and then went on to win the tournament. That needs to be discussed. Do you like Bryson DeChambeau? We got a poll question on that. At Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan on Twitter. So a lot going on in the NFL outside of the breaking news. Would you sign a waiver to attend a sporting event? Sounds like Washington's going to change their team name. The Indians, Cleveland Indians, are going to change their team name. Got to get to that. NBA scrimmages. Talk about craziness to try and get back underway. Look at what's going on in the MLS. We're going to carve out a segment for that because that's not looking good today. Would you pay for a cardboard cutout of yourself at a sporting event? Because I saw this news last week and I kind of thought, yeah, I kind of want to do that. If you got a little extra income, could send you a foul ball. We'll get to that. What else we got? Oh, and then some college football is big news out of the Ivy League today that has a lot of people thinking they know the direction that college football is going to go. So we'll get to that as some pretty thoughtful quotes from Larry Scott, Lincoln Riley talked. So it's going to be a busy, busy, busy show. We'll start, though, with the big breaking news that happened just before we went on the air today, and that is Patrick Mahomes has inked a contract extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. How much and for how long? We'll tell you coming up next. That's where we start. Thanks for being with us on a Monday. Hope you're doing well. Dirt and Spray here on 1080 The Fam.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Thoughts rolling into the fan text line, 503-250-1080, about the 4th of July. Somebody said, one of our P1s, it's obvious with the lack of big shows, everyone was doing their own fireworks in their neighborhood. Never heard, saw that many in my neighborhood. Yeah, I felt that too. Somebody said, as a vet, I hate the July 5th ones because I can prepare myself for the days before, but it's really hard when you don't expect it the day after. That's the part I always think about, too, is, like, everybody is affected differently by fireworks. Like, right. Vets, it's really hard for vets when you hear the sounds going off all night. Like, I sympathize for them completely. And that's why it's tough when you get the early ones and the late ones. Like, you understand they're coming on the 4th of July. It's everybody gets it, and you're going to light them off all night. But the early pop-offs in June or, like, the random ones on July 5th can really affect it. And I know that. Like, my thought around the 4th of July has changed, and I'm sure it does with, like, when you have kids. I'm sure when your kid was young, like, it was a little different. It's that way with me with the dog now, Because it's like, we can't keep the windows open. And he was okay as a puppy, not really understanding. But now I think he just turned three. It's like, dude, he freaks out. You hear those booms that go off in the middle of the night. It wakes him up. He starts barking. It's like, those make it a little tough, man, when you're not on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Last year, I saw a dog get off the leash in the neighborhood I was at.
Start running.
And he was going right up to the fireworks, trying to, like, bite them as they're sparking off. My grandpa's a veteran, so I think of him and how he's able to handle it. Thank goodness he's in bum nowhere, Missouri, so I don't know.
Nobody around him,
exactly.
Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. But, as far as having a kid goes, you want him to be entertained and stuff. But the next morning, when I saw all the mortar bits and pieces and all the fireworks that were still left out from the neighbors, me and the boy went around for 10, 15 minutes, picked up scraps and tried to clean up as good as you can, because that was the one thing that was disappointed. In the night, I was like, hell yeah, give me more mortars, M80s firing off.
Light them up.
When I saw the next morning, like, literally just garbage pieces, hunks of paper everywhere, I was like, okay, maybe we might have to change some things next year, because I got to break out the push broom now to clean up. So.
I got to clean everything up. Somebody said mortars are going off right behind my house until midnight last night. I had to wake up at 4 for work.
Ugh.
Another one of those. Fell asleep around midnight after the neighbors blew it up. I got called into work at 2:15 this morning.
My Lord.
Yeah, somebody said they hold fireworks back for birthdays so everyone gets them throughout the year. Like, I get that. Yeah, like special occasion. Or some people like to do them on on New Year's Eve. Right? You want to hold fireworks till New Year's Eve? Like, I totally get that. But, yeah, the random pop-off next day, not a huge fan. But I guess we're just getting old, Joe. We're just getting old.
Yep.
Let's get to the big news of the day that I wasn't really planning for, but here we are.
How about these fireworks?
Yeah, how about this, man? So Patrick Mahomes, we all know, just won a Super Bowl. He's got an MVP. He's the talk of the league, best quarterback in the NFL. We've all been waiting on the contract news to come down the pipeline because there's a lot of other guys that are waiting to see what kind of deal he's going to sign. And Deshaun Watson's close to getting a new deal. We've gone through it with Dak Prescott in Dallas. Like, it's kind of that next market-setting contract at the position, and it's going to be a big determinant of what happens to the quarterbacks that are to follow. Never in a million years did I expect for this news bomb, though. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs have reached an agreement on a contract extension that is going to last a measly 10 years. He still has 2 years left on his current contract, so they are adding 10 years on top of that. So Patrick Mahomes is now under contract with the Kansas City Chiefs for the next 12 years. Schefter also reporting that it will be the, of course, richest contract in NFL history. Now, we're awaiting more details in terms of, obviously, total amount, which is just going to be an insane number for a 10-year contract. We're awaiting guaranteed money. We're awaiting to find out how much annually he is going to make. How does it shake out? Is it going to be, I'm thinking like a Bryce Harper, Manny Machado kind of deal, right? Where you go long-term, big total of money, but the average salary stays the same every year. And a lot of people wondering if this is going to be something that goes up and down with the salary cap, because that number is going to jump over the course of the next 12 years, that it could be tied to a percentage of the salary cap every single year for Kansas City. But a 10-year contract extension for Patrick Mahomes, now 12 years total under contract for Kansas City. What was your reaction when you saw this news?
Well, I mean, 2020, right? Why not throw out a 10-year contract for an NFL quarterback? We've seen it all this year. Thank God that it happened before our show, too.
Yeah,
right?
We finally got some good breaking news on the show, man.
Yeah, man.
And I'm even here. Usually these things happen when I'm gone.
Exactly. Sprague is probably on his phone right now. Just, damn it.
I'm listening to Mahomes news.
Yeah, well, he's got tomorrow. But, I mean, seriously, I don't know if I've ever seen a 10-year contract for anybody in the NFL.
No.
And then we're going to see our first $300 million contract.
Yeah, undoubtedly, right? Because you got most guys that are signing in the 4 or 5 year range for $100 million.
About 25 to 30 per year. I mean, Dak's franchise tag, I think, is in the 31, 32 range.
Somewhere in that range. Yeah, Wentz and Russell Wilson, I mean, they're getting in the one, you know, I think, what did Russ end up getting? $130 million? I'll have to go look up highest paid quarterbacks, but I think it was somewhere in that neighborhood. So now, yeah, you're adding a 10-year contract onto this. I'm fascinated to find out the details of it, because this is the last thing I was expecting. We have seen a trend more recently with quarterbacks, and maybe it's not as widespread, but like with Dak Prescott, the big issue that he's had this offseason is them adding the extra year on, and if they do, he wants to be paid a certain amount, because quarterbacks realize how valuable they were. And you can say what you want about Kirk Cousins, but I thought he was really smart in signing the contract that he did when he finally hit free agency. And he signed in Minnesota. He just did a 3-year deal instead of going 5 or 6 years and extending it, because he knew he was going to be able to, if I play well, I'm getting one, I'm getting 100% guaranteed money here. And two, I'm going to be able to renegotiate and get another big contract with guaranteed money in three seasons. So that's kind of been the trend for guys, is to go shorter deals, keep your options open. Maybe there's a team that's willing to throw another, you know, bag of cash at you and you can bounce around to another organization. This is kind of flying right in the face of the trend that we've seen for quarterbacks. And I totally understand it for Kansas City's aspect. Like, you got a dude who's 24 years old. He's the best. I mean, him and Russell Wilson, in my mind, are 1A, 1B in the NFL right now. And some people, Sprague thinks Wilson's better. I think Mahomes is better. But they're 1A, 1B. So you got one of the best, if not the best, quarterbacks in the league. He's won an MVP in his first full year as a starter. And he just led you to a Super Bowl. The Chiefs, we knew about their history not being able to win the big game. And he dug you out of a hole in the AFC title game against Houston. Or not the, in the divisional round against Houston. And then dug you out of a hole in the Super Bowl and won you a championship. Like, you ink this guy for as long as you possibly can. The details that we do need to find out, though, are what is Mahomes going to be making per year? And is this a contract that's tied to the salary cap percentage? Because that is the only reason I would get signing a contract like this. If he's able to negotiate and say, give me X amount of the salary cap every single year of this deal, and if the salary cap goes up by $20 million, my number goes up. If it goes down, it'll go down. But tying it to the overall number would make sense for him, because then he's guaranteed essentially pay grades every couple of years when the salary cap number jumps. But if that's not the case, this is a really interesting move on his part of just inking for 10 more years, being under contract for 12, and not allowing himself flexibility to go sign as a free agent in the years to come.
Well, and I mean, just going back to that, I've never seen it in 10 years. It's like, Andy Reid, is he planning to be there that whole time too? I mean, that's what you kind of have to keep in mind.
Let's
is
see.
How much will this team be? And NFL,
he's 62 years old. Andy Reid, 62 years old.
You definitely see older coaches out there. So, but yeah, I mean,
he's capable of pulling that off.
The NFL to me is one sport that is a little bit more turnover, more of a cycle than other sports. I mean, a team that was great 5 years ago could be garbage now. Granted, it goes to, you know, ownership, and the Chiefs right now are looking like they aren't going to skip a beat for the next 4 or 5 years. I would like to know how Chris Jones feels about this.
Right, a guy who wants a new contract.
Exactly, yeah. So, but I mean, I'm just still flabbergasted. I mean, I mean that is just an insane amount of years. And yeah, like you said, once we see the money, I mean, it could be as much as $350 million.
Yeah, who knows? And it could be up in the air, because again, I think this is more likely than not to be tied to the salary cap and get a percentage of that every year. And that's how the contract's going to unfold over the next 10 years. Cody tweeted us a picture of Michael Scott yelling no, saying this is Jerry Jones right now, terrified.
Yeah,
yeah, there's agents out there that are eagerly awaiting these contract numbers. Yeah, Schefter just put out another tweet, and it still doesn't say any financial specifics, just said that it's going to be, again, of course, the richest contract in NFL history, 10-year extension. So he's going to be under contract as a Chief until 2031. Man, that is wild. And this is one, at least, too. I think there is an ongoing and valid debate around the NFL of how much are you willing to invest in one position, right? Like, we saw the push in the last CBA negotiation of saying, should the quarterback salary count outside of the salary cap? And is there some sort of wiggle room that you should allow teams to pay quarterbacks a lot of money, but give them the freedom to do it elsewhere if they do, right? Like, we've seen a lot of bad contracts handed out to quarterbacks. In my mind, in the last couple of years, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, a guy who struggled to stay healthy. It's a big year coming for him. Carr got one and hasn't really lived up to the financials of it. We've seen some of those contracts handed out, and I think it has led to a very valid debate of just, if you don't have one of the elite guys, how much are you willing to pay for them? And that's kind of been the conundrum that Dallas has been in this year. It's just, how much are you willing to pay Dak Prescott? He's good. You know he's good. He's always going to be a consistently good quarterback. But is he good enough to carry your team, or is he good enough to take you over the top when you're paying that one position so much of your salary cap percentage? That's the one thing I've always said and will maintain to say about Mahomes until he proves me wrong. Pay that guy whatever the hell he wants. He is good enough. He's backed it up. MVP, Super Bowl championship. He is only 24 years old, and it's hard to think that he's not going to just continue to get better. That I feel like with him, at least, you have the ability to tie a little bit more of that percentage of the salary cap to him, and you can ham and egg it around him because he's good enough.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's benefited from having Kelsey, and like, he's had Tyreek Hill. Like, he's had some good weapons. Don't get me wrong. I think their defense was underrated last year. Chris Jones is a guy that you just pointed out, a really good interior defensive lineman. But he's good enough, I think, to overcome the sum of the rest of the parts, whereas some other quarterbacks aren't good enough to do that in the league. So I have no problem with whatever they want to pay him, man. You ink that guy to a lifetime contract. Give him the Bobby Bonilla deal. Pay him till he's like 75 years old, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is just going to make it so much. I think it should make things easier for them in the years to come. I mean, you know, if like you said, if this is a salary cap based thing where it's percentage and you know that's what's going to him every year, you have now all your time to deal with everybody else. I mean, for the next decade plus. I mean, 12 years, that is insane. So you know what you're getting with Patrick Mahomes. The only thing you ever have to worry about is injury. And that is the concern for every NFL athlete, player.
Without a doubt.
And if you're already going into contract negotiations with a player who doesn't have an injury pass and that's your worry, I mean, that's just silly. You just have to plan for the future, what's going to happen, and what you've seen with Mahomes already is that he could, by the time this deal is done, have 2-3 more Super Bowls with him.
He could. 2 or 3 more MVPs to go along with it, too. That's a really good point that they are now, the Chiefs at least, I totally get this for Kansas City, because now you have the ability to understand exactly where your cap number is going to be and exactly what your financials are tied into with your quarterback for the next 12 seasons. And that gives you a lot of freedom. Instead of wondering in the back of your mind, like Dallas has gone through this where, all right, Amari, we want to extend some offensive linemen, maybe a defensive player. But when do we need to do Dak, and how much is the amount going to be, and when's he going to be up for another extension after that? Like, it's this kind of ongoing question you have to ask yourself. Kansas City, man, he's done. Inked up for 12 years. So that's the big breaking news of the day. Happened just before he went on the air. Patrick Mahomes has 2 more years left on his current deal. He just signed a 10-year contract extension that's going to make him the richest player in NFL history. He's going to be under contract in Kansas City until 2031. What do you make of the deal? The text line is 503-250-1080. You can chime in there throughout the entire show. No daily ticker today. I didn't really know where I was too overwhelmed. I was like, do we go baseball? Do we go golf? Do we go college football? I wasn't sure exactly where to go. So I'm putting on the daily ticker. We'll get back to it tomorrow. Read some of your thoughts on Mahomes, and then we got to dive into what's going on in Major League Baseball, because they began practicing and ramped things up over the weekend. It was fun to watch. Good to see players back at the ballpark, but not off to a great start. We'll talk some baseball stuff next. First, here's Joe with SportsCenter.
I was born by the river in a little tent.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, the Fan.
It's been a long,
took a gander at it during the commercial break. A long time coming. The highest total value for a quarterback contract is Russell Wilson at $140 million. You got Aaron Rodgers at 134, Jared Goff at 134, Wentz 128. I stand corrected. I didn't look far enough down the list. Matt Ryan at 150 total value. Looks like that is the highest. A couple other guys in the 130s. Garoppolo, 137. Stafford, 135. The total guaranteed number, which is always a bigger number than total value, because that's the total guaranteed you're going to get. Looks like Jared Goff is the winner chicken dinner at $110 million on that one. Wentz, 107. Ryan's at 100. Wilson's at 107. And then in fully guaranteed, it is Matt Ryan again at $94.5 million in fully guaranteed money. Isn't that crazy? So this has a lot of people speculating. I saw this pointed out on Twitter from our friend Ross Tucker. The highest, do you know the highest contract ever handed out in sports history?
In sports history?
Yes. Ugh. Just actually happened.
Yeah, I was going to say it's got to be one of the baseball ones, right? The Mike Trout contract.
That is it. Mike Trout's just signed an extension. Was that last offseason or the year before?
I think it was all this last offseason.
This is past offseason.
Harper, Arenado. Yeah, Trout getting the extension.
Yeah. Harper. Yeah, all those guys signed. 12 years, $426 million. That was the Mike Trout contract.
Can I just have like a stack?
Can I get like.
Chip me $10,000. That's all I'm asking.
I'll take like 0.25% of that, man. That's all I need.
Come on.
Come on. So that is the richest contract ever handed out in sports history. 12 years, $426.5 million. It has a lot of people wondering, will Mahomes top that number? This is going to be crazy. A couple thoughts that came in. I wanted to read these. We had a Chiefs fan, Costa, chimed in, said, totally excited for this. Love the 10-year deal. Can't wait to hear the details, see how it helps the Chiefs try and keep other players. Another point, and this gets to the difficulty of paying quarterbacks, saying that it always results in more issues reaching the Super Bowl. It's happened time and time again, most recently with Jared Goff. You're not wrong. And I think that's why the new model in the NFL the last handful of years has been trying to win and capitalize on guys who are on rookie deals. When you get a guy that's cheap for the first 5 years, Can you build up enough talent around him? Seattle did it with Russell Wilson. The Chiefs just did it with Mahomes. Like, that's been the trend. And then you got to pay these guys, and it becomes a lot tougher when they're asking for top dollar. The one thing that I will say, though, is and Mahomes, in my mind, and maybe I'm being disrespectful to Jared Goff, I think he's 10 times the quarterback that Jared Goff is. So I don't think that Kansas City, yes, there are of course going to be issues, but I don't like the comparison to what the Rams are going through because the Rams also handed out a bad contract to Gurley. Like, they were in a really tough financial situation. And I don't believe Kansas City has a lot of those on the books.
Not that I can think of.
That popped at the top of my mind. Like, a contract you look at, you're like, ooh, you're going to regret signing that one.
Yeah. I mean, with Mahomes, too, it's like, yeah, he is about as a sure bet in the future.
Right.
As anybody you've seen in this league. It's like, if you take a poll, what player do you want to bet on for the next 10 seasons?
Dude, you're taking Mahomes, right?
Yeah, he's probably winning that 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
So as far as giving him a deal to lock him up for the future, and you're worried about, oh, well, we could give him 3 or 4 years, but then we might have to renegotiate. It's like, if you know he's the dude, which he clearly is, and kudos to him for saying, yeah, I want to be here in Kansas City too. You know, I want to be, I see a good future here. Lock me up for the next decade.
I mean, I'm going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, kudos to him for seeing that and then saying, let's build something here and keep it going. We have a chance to take over this league. But also the Chiefs in recognizing, it's like, yeah, dude, this guy is already lighting the world on fire. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change that.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, especially with Andy Reid still being around for the foreseeable future, at least. Now, right. It'll be all 10, 12 years. I know that. Again, he's 62 years old, but you got a great offensive mind. You just won a Super Bowl. I was just reminded of this because ESPN Stats and Info tweeted it out. He became the first quarterback to ever win the MVP and Super Bowl before turning 25 years old.
I see, like...
Right, and then including the playoffs, he has registered the third most touchdown passes of any player in their first 3 seasons. The only ones with more are Dan Marino and Andrew Luck. And then you remind yourself that he only played 1 game in his first season. Yeah. And Marino and Andrew Luck started right away. So he's got the third most touchdowns. He's produced 89 touchdowns, despite, again, only playing 1 game in 2017. So it's pretty incredible. I think, you know, a listener texted in about the ripple effect of what this is going to be. He said, I wouldn't be surprised if it leads to a percentage of salary cap promise to each team as a quarterback set aside in the next CBA. That could be the case. I saw Andrew Brandt, who is, I think, a really well-reasoned former front office executive in the NFL who I enjoy following on Twitter. He doesn't seem to think that it's tied to the salary cap. He thinks that Kansas City just threw as much money, a butt ton of money at Mahomes, as much as they could. And he just said, yeah, let's do it. I'm signing that contract extension. It's unique, though, because if that ends up being the case where it's just an annual salary, there's not a percentage that's tied to the cap number, I think there's a little bit of Mahomes. Like, you're going to get this immediate bump, obviously, of signing the biggest contract in NFL history, a 12-year deal. The total amount might not ever be matched, at least won't be for the years to come, by other guys. But there is that kind of ego-driven thing from some quarterbacks. Like, we go through that every time there's a new deal that pops up. Somebody wants to be the market setter in a category, right? Whether it's, oh, I want the highest total value, or I want the most average per year. That was a big thing Russell Wilson fought for, is he has the highest average per year salary at $35 million, just edging Roethlisberger and Goff and all those other guys that are, you know, 33, 34. Somebody wants to be, I want to be the total guaranteed, most money ever signed, or fully guaranteed. So if that ends up being the case where it's just one amount for the next 12 seasons, or I should say after the next 2 years then kicks in over 10 seasons, he's kind of foregoing some of that, which I tip the cap to him. But clearly happy in Kansas City. They got a good thing going. He signs a big time extension. And I'm sure those details will come out before we're done today. If not, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But we'll continue refreshing and wondering when, how much is he going to make, what the total amount is. It's absolutely crazy. 12-year total deal, 10 years new for Patrick Mahomes.
And just taking a quick look at who they have signed up, the only real egregious contract that you see is Frank Clark. He is signed until 2023.
Okay.
And he's supposed to make just under 20 mil next season, 25 and a half the year after.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, 26, 27 by the contract. And they're going to have Sammy Watkins coming off the books after this year, which I doubt they'll re-sign him. That's $17 million right there. But again, they also have Chris Jones they have to deal with. Good thing they have Tyreek Hill. They have him signed up for the next 3-4 seasons, it looks like. So they're in a lot better position than some.
Well, and not to rub salt in the wound too, but if you're sitting around today as a Bears fan, this has got to hurt, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you already know how good Mahomes is, and you passed on the chance to get him and Deshaun Watson. You took Mitchell Trubisky instead. and now Nick Foles might end up being your starting quarterback.
That's going to be some low-hanging fruit for, at least the next decade.
Hey, we've gone through that.
Years.
No, you know what? Chicago has held that in our face with Michael Jordan and Sam Bowie for 20-something, right? Like, screw
That's
Chicago.
True.
They can suffer in this, all right? We took Sam Bowie and settled Michael Jordan. We know how you feel, all right? But, yeah, I saw somebody posted a tweet of Mahomes in a Bears uniform, like a what if. It's like, it stings. Yeah, somebody responded with the video of them taking Trubisky. It's just it's brutal. But there's your big news of the day. Okay, let's get to Major League Baseball as they tried to get things back underway this weekend. It got off to a rocky start. What some players are saying, who's sitting out, who's tested positive, an update on all that coming up next on The Fam.
The new moon rode high in the crown of the metropolis, shining like who on top of this? People were sussling, arguing and bustling. Gangsters of God from hardcore hustling.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This ain't no time. Hey, welcome back in. 12:48. Dirt and Sprague here. No Sprague. He's out. 4-day weekend. Joe with me. I think Swigard back tomorrow.
Yeah, and I thought about today. I give him kudos for planning out the vacation time well. He is, like you said, been gone for like a week and a half.
Oh, Swigard?
Yeah. I mean, very smartly played.
It's very wise to tie a vacation into a holiday.
Yes.
Because you get a bonus day mixed in there.
Right.
That's really smart. That's what Sprager did too. You got a 4-day weekend out of it because we were both off on Friday. What did we play on Friday? Do you know? Were there any actual shows? Because usually we always get the 4th of July off, but in the years past, obviously, we played like Major League Baseball games and stuff.
I think we made the decision to just go dead air this year. See how it turned out. Just 24 hours of just nothing.
That's got to rate better in our show, I'd imagine.
Sadly, it was pretty good.
It's good dead air, man. They brought up some good points, didn't they? I had mixed emotions over the weekend. Did you watch a lot of the highlights of baseball teams coming back?
No, I just saw the one low light of Masahiro Tanaka nearly getting his head taken off.
Yeah, that was not an ideal start. He took a 112 mile an hour line drive off of his dome.
Of course, it was Giancarlo Stanton up to bat too. You know, it could have been the twig pinch hitter at second base.
I always feel bad too for the pitcher. You obviously feel bad for, but then the hitter too. Like you watch Stanton after he hits that, he doesn't know what do you do? There's nothing you can do. He just kind of kneels down and it's
bad.
Oh my god. Yeah, sorry about that one. Thankfully, it looks like Tanaka's doing okay. That was crazy. But no, I think it was like because there were highlights and I was watching some MLB Network over the weekend and they had like the in ballpark cameras and stuff.
Right.
Your players are taking BP. Like it was just cool to see players back in stadiums wearing uniforms. Like it felt somewhat normal, especially on a 4th of July weekend that has always been so tied in with Major League Baseball. But unfortunately, the headline for the sport out of the weekend has been how slow they are to the gate and being prepared for some of this stuff. Now, there's been a lot of comments from players not happy about the safety protocols and some of the comments from owners. I saw a lot of players were asked about, will there be fans in the ballpark this year? You don't think it's going to happen? And players said, all the owners care about is making money. So yeah, it's probably going to happen. So there's clearly a wound that is, it's going to take a long time to heal between those two sides. And it's existed for a long time for the sport. But the bigger issue is the stories that have been coming out here the last 12, 16 hours or so, where there's four different teams that I know of, and maybe I'm missing one, but that I've seen of. I believe the A's, the Nationals, the Angels, and there was one other one that they sent in their tests, their player tests, and they haven't gotten the results back yet.
The Astros were
the other one. And nobody feels sympathy for them. Just kidding. But they send in their tests, right? Because that's a big part. You got to test everybody. They want to be rigorously. I can't say that word.
They want to be tested a lot.
Tested a lot early on. And then if you pass enough, you go to every other day and you can kind of slow it down, right? Well, they haven't gotten the results back. So those four teams have had to push back or postpone or cancel their workouts for today because they don't know what the results were. And there was one player for the Astros that said when he got to the ballpark, I believe it was yesterday, he was supposed to be and scheduled to be tested because they're supposed to go every other day early on. And they weren't even ready to test him. Like there wasn't even somebody there. So he came prepared, was like walking in like, all right, where's my test? And they said, no, we're not doing it. It's a 4th of July weekend. There's no mail going on right now.
Yeah. I just read this. The Athletics COVID-19 tests, they sat at an airport since Friday because no one accounted for Saturday being a holiday.
Ah, nice. So you've had the GM of the A's came out with some pretty strong statements. Some players from the A's, Jake Diekman, who's one of their relief pitchers in Oakland, came out with some really, like, he was like, he said this quote, "We knew there were going to be hiccups, but we didn't know there would be hiccups with the actual test results, because that's basically the number one priority. Everything else is secondary. I feel like deep down, every player has it in the back of their mind. This is all going to fall apart." Andrew Miller, a relief pitcher for the Cardinals, echoed a similar sentiment, saying that, like, there's just nowhere near 100% certainty. We're just feeling this out. And there's been a huge chunk of players that have come out with similar quotes like that, of saying, "I'm here now. I'm just going to kind of wait and see how this goes over the next 2 weeks." And a lot of people haven't decided if they want to play or not. They're just showing up and just kind of testing the waters a little bit. Sean Doolittle, who is a player who has been very outspoken since all of this began about player safety. I remember when it was initially debated of, can you bring a season back and how does it look? He came out and said, like, this financial should be secondary. The most important thing is player safety, and he's maintained that. He did a press conference yesterday after everything that's going on with the Nationals. I thought this was pretty important here. So this is Sean Doolittle, relief pitcher for the Nats. It's about 2 minutes long, but here's his stance on where baseball's at.
It does, like, bring to mind kind of where we're at in our response to this as a country. Like, we're trying to bring baseball back during a pandemic that's killed 130,000 people. We're way worse off as a country than where we were in March when we shut this thing down. And, like, look at where other developed countries are in their response to this. We haven't done any of the things that other countries have done to bring sports back. Sports are, like, the reward of a functioning society, a functional society. And we're just, like, trying to just bring it back, even though we've taken none of the steps to have it to flatten the curve, or whatever you want to say. To, like, we did flatten the curve for a little bit, but we didn't use that time to do anything productive. We just opened back up for Memorial Day. We decided we're done with it. Like, if there aren't sports, it's going to be because people are not wearing masks, because the response to this has been so politicized. Like, we need help from the general public. If they want to watch baseball, like, please wear a mask, like, social distance, keep washing your hands. Like, we can't just have virus fatigue and think it's been, like, well, it's been 4 months, like, we're over it. This has been enough time, right? We've waited long enough. Like, shouldn't sports come back now? No, there's things we have to do in order to bring the stuff back. So, like, and now you want to bring fans back? I mean, I don't know. Is that safe? I'm not a public health expert, but, like, we should probably defer to them on some of these issues. So I don't know. I don't know if it's safe or not. I really don't know. But, like, that doesn't seem like something that I don't know if that feels like a good idea or not. I don't know.
Well, after what baseball went through in fighting the players and the owners going back and forth and trying to reach a deal to have a season, you had Rob Manfred late last week, something that we didn't talk about just because we didn't have a show on Friday and it kind of popped up on Thursday. He went on and did a national interview and basically said, "We knew all along we were going to play 60 games. We knew we would never play more than that," which everybody said, "Wait, what? Why? Where? What was the whole negotiation for then?" So that was a really bad sign, and that didn't make players happy. And the one thing that you wanted to make sure you were going to do early on as an institution is that make sure your players feel safe and taken care of, because you knew they were all going to come into this kind of glancing like, "I'm not really trusting the owners right now. I don't know if this is safe, and I'll go give it a shot. We'll see how it goes." But, dude, make sure you test them the way you're supposed to test them. Make sure you get the results back to them when you're supposed to get the results back so that they can continue to practice. You're supposed to have this big schedule release tonight, and the season's starting in like 2 weeks, and you have all these players that are coming out and saying, "I don't know if it's going to work. I don't feel safe. I don't feel comfortable." You've had countless players, including some big-time stars that have tested positive. Freddie Freeman, probably the most prominent. You've had big-time guys that have dropped out. David Price not going to play. Felix Hernandez, I know he's past his prime, but still, he announced he's not going to play. Nick Barkakis is not going to play. So this is like going sideways quickly for Major League Baseball, and it's just amazing how bad of a start they got to when it's only been a couple of days since everybody reported back.
This is MLB, and how they've handled this whole thing from March to now is like the epitome of that gif of that, like, dog in the burning room.
This is fine.
Like, that room just keeps catching more and more on fire and getting close to them, and still they're just, schedule release tonight. Who's going to play who? It's like, dude, no. And as you said, like, trusting the owners, the general managers now are having trouble with that. Here was a text from the A's general manager. The Athletic was able to get some of those text messages. And, dude, he's just as pissed as the players are. And he even says it. He says, on top of screwing up the logistics of the whole thing, this is about the whole 4th of July weekend. Neither MLB nor the company that collects the samples communicated any of this until we pressed them for information, at which point all they could do was apologize, which frankly doesn't really do much for us. Our best shot is to schedule a workout for Monday night with the hope that the samples arrive at the lab on time tomorrow and they're able to turn around your results in a matter of a few hours. Now, keep in mind the A's, they still haven't had a full team workout yet since, I mean, the Yankees, and we've seen teams.
A lot of teams have, yeah.
He also went on to say, despite having our schedule a week ahead of time, they didn't alert us to the possibility of any complications around July 4th. And once there were issues, they did nothing to communicate that to us or remedy the situation until the A's head athletic trainer and I forced the issue at various times today. If possible, I'm as frustrated and pissed as you are. Well, probably not as pissed as Matt is, and I assure you the rest of the staff is as well. And you mentioned Jake Diekman, their closer. He goes, Amazon packages can be delivered literally 7 days a week, but results for COVID testing, not so much. Spot on.
It is how incompetent could you be? This was the only thing that you had to make sure to do just to try and get off to the right start was that your testing process was adequate, that you were quarantining the guys that you were supposed to quarantine, and that you would get them the results when they needed them. Because these teams are sitting here saying, all right, we're testing early on. There's been positive tests in every organization. Some have more than others. I was scrolling through a list. It looks like everybody has somebody that was supposed to be in camp that has tested positive either now or had within the last couple of weeks. You're basically saying we're not going to get the results back, so they can't go practice. Because if they do and one of the players has it, he can spread it to the rest of the team, and then the whole team's going to have it, and they're going to have to shut down. Like, it blew my mind over the weekend. I saw highlights of guys working out in ballparks and taking batting practice, and saw, you know, I'm a Giants fan, so seeing tweets about the Giants being back, and there was a picture that went viral of Pablo Sandoval being fat that was fun to laugh at. Like, look at that. Baseball could be back. And then this is the thing that's hanging in the background for everybody. Four teams still awaiting results. They haven't gotten them back, so they had to cancel or postpone their workouts today. And this isn't like you got a month and a half to ramp this thing up, man. These teams, like, when is opening day scheduled? July 14th, 15th? So is it maybe a little bit later than that? But we're like 2 weeks away from this.
I think
this.
It was like 23rd, 24th.
23rd, 24th. Okay, we're a couple weeks away from this. Like, you're eliminating a practice day and a day for pitchers to get their arm strength back and hitters to get some reps in. Like, it's really important for these clubs. I totally understand why they're ticked. And I thought Diekman put it best when he said every player in the back of their mind has a feeling that this is going to fall apart, which is exactly where Major League Baseball wanted to be a couple of days in to trying to get their season ramped up. So that's where we're at with Major League Baseball. Lots to get to in the second hour of the show. Bryson DeChambeau made some headlines over the weekend. Is he revolutionizing golf? Also, do you like him? He had an interaction with a cameraman. We'll play some audio for you on that one as well. We have name changes coming in professional sports. It sounds like some college football notes to get to. Owners trying to get out of a stake in a team. The MLS, talk about getting off to a bad start. The MLS is a dumpster fire right now. Lots still to get to. Two more hours to go. Thanks for being with us on a Monday. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.